Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. And I'm excited because my guests, once again, are Dr. Patty and Dr. Robert. Dr. Patty Britton and Dr. Robert Dunlap. Welcome to this program, Doctor.
Hello.
Thank you so much, Diana. Yeah, we've been friends a long time and colleagues, and so it's kind of easy to do a show together. We just saw each other, less than a week ago, where you live in Southern California. We had a lovely lunch at the Culver Hotel in Culver City.
Wasn't that fun? Yes,
it's a historic landmark.
Historical landmark, and very much like that Paris Art Deco Art Nouveau flavor that we also found on our travels in Shanghai. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, and we're going to talk about your travels. The theme of this show is cross-cultural sexuality because Dr. Patty and Dr. Robert have been traveling again this year, leading workshops, speeches and trainings, and we're going to find out more about that. But I just wanted to let you know that Dr. Patty in June received a great honor, the prestigious ASEC Distinguished Service Award. ASEC is American Association for Sex Educators, Counselors, and Teachers. And you were the president of ASEC. What year was that, Patty?
From 2006. To 2008, two-year term.
And how would you describe that two-year term?
Hell. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Well, it was very demanding, wasn't it?
Well, you know, it's a volunteer position. It's a very prestigious position because you're elected by a membership of almost 2,000 people around the world to become their president and craft the vision and the future of the organization while you hold that office. And, of course, I had been a leading volunteer for, up through this year, it's 20 years running, which is why I received the award. And what's so interesting is that I work full-time for myself with various projects and with Dr. Robert at sexcoachyou.com. And I worked an average of 30 hours per week, unpaid, as the volunteer president. And it's a very grueling, intensive job.
Yes. 30 hours a week, Patty.
Average.
That is dedication.
There were weeks I worked more.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And that
didn't count
my hours.
That doesn't. And it is a labor of love when you volunteer. And, you know, and even since we're talking about travel and cross-cultural perspectives around the world on sexuality and sexual expression and lifestyle and trends that we're seeing, you know, traveling is not as glamorous as it's cracked up to be either, because it's, first of all, you know, it's not a really cost-effective thing to offer intimate small trainings around the world. They're very costly for us to offer to the communities that we serve, and we do this out of service. Yes, we get to go to really beautiful or fascinating cultural venues, but really it's not because it's a highly profitable enterprise, right, Robert? It's because we're in dedicated service to spreading the word about positive sexuality and sexual health and sexual pleasure and sexual well-being wherever we can shed that light. And that's part of the spirit of service that I had, of course, and remain. I was just appointed the chair of the nominating committee, and this committee will actually be responsible for putting forth candidates for the next president of ASEC after Dr. Connie McCaffrey's term, which begins in July of next year. So I've taken on yet another leadership role. But we, Robert and I, do come from a position and a perspective of service. We believe in helping people around the world, but we also understand that you also have to take care of yourself, and work and play and life have to be in balance, which we certainly coach our clients and we say to ourselves.
And all of this is very important to your work. I wanted to just circle back a little bit and talk about Robert, Dr. Robert Dunlap, as part of the introduction to this program, because Robert has been on this program alone and with you several times, mm-hmm. but he is a seasoned media expert. He has appearances in over 400 commercials. That's a lot, Robert. I know you are young and...
and teenager.
In print, film, and television. And I think more recently, you're really an award-winning filmmaker, Beyond Vanilla, and Zaviera Hollander, The Happy Hooker, A Portrait of a Sexual Revolutionary. And you're also a clinical sexologist. You specialize in BDSM kink, and sort of the fetish populations.
And he's a kink. We call him a kinkologist.
A kink. I love that. Robert, talk a little bit before we get into your most recent trainings and world travels. Talk a little bit about Beyond Vanilla and how that may have inspired you to get into the becoming a kinkologist.
What's happened is every once in a while you're fortunate enough to have a partner and someone who sees a very similar vision in making a film. And I was very lucky to have Klass Lilja direct this particular bit of material, Beyond Vanilla. Now, what was really fabulous about the process was we literally did on-camera interviews of over 200 different people around the country who are in that particular lifestyle. And because of what we were able to capture on film, it was so educational, both for me, as well as I think I'm quite pleased to say that the film is used in probably 35 to 40 countries, both at film festivals as well as for other trainings that people do. And I'm really delighted because it really is an expose on the world of kink and fetish and how these different people both come out about what it is that they do, but they also perform certain acts that are quite unusual, shall we say.
And is that film available?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
It can be. Yeah, it's still available through Strand Distribution. They're real easy to just type in Strand Distribution and you can get a copy of the film. It's also available like on Amazon and other venues like that. The one really interesting thing, just as a follow-up, where you can see how technology has really made such an enormous dent as well as progression for filmmakers, is I'm really proud to say that my Zaviera film now is even available on iTunes.
Isn't that something? iTunes, The Happy Hooker on iTunes.
Yeah, unedited. They only requested 5 minor edits, and the great thing is you can stream it and or you can buy it. So imagine, when I first got involved in the film, that would have been, the future. Where is everything headed as far as distribution? But now to be able to have it on iTunes is just amazing.
Well, it is. And I know that last year, and this will segue us into your SARS and your international travels, but last year you were able, and Patty, I'd like you to talk about this, to have one of your first international SARS at Zaviera's Bread and Breakfast, her B&B in Amsterdam. We talked a little bit about this on the last year when you were on, but could you just give us a review of that, Patty?
Sure. Well, the joke is, as she says in her life story documentary that is really amazing that Robert made, and we actually show at every single one of our trainings, She said, now I've given up the world of prostitution, and I run a bed and brothel. I mean, breakfast. and that's her joke.
That's her joke.
And it isn't a brothel. It really is an authentic, kind of Michelin guide B&B.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she also runs a network of B&Bs that are friends of hers who are all in the sex-positive movement in the Amsterdam area. She facilitates, as she did, for students from around the world. We had 26 people attend that particular SAR in April of 2012 from 10 different countries. I forgot.
Yeah.
So, they all needed housing. And you can only imagine their experience. So, the SAR, we did talk about this at one of your fabulous programs not that long ago, but I don't remember exactly when. We decided to take this sensitivity training that's a common requirement in the field of sexology and the treatment of sexual issues. Practitioners and clinicians and educators are actually required by ASECT, that organization that I was president of, to attend a SAR, and we're kind of at the top of the world in many ways as one of the most popular and desirable providers of that SAR and the precious continuing ed units you earn from going to this type of a SAR, because I'm also a provider of those credits for ASEC. And what's so interesting is that, in a way, it kind of sensitized us when we went to Amsterdam in April of last year. We were there with people from all over the world, different cultures, in a foreign country. Even though English is widely spoken, there still is a foreign language drive underneath everything. And it is a foreign country to many of us who aren't familiar with navigating the streets or asking directions or the cuisine, et cetera. And so it really was an awakening for us to realize, wow, some of the material we show in a SAR has a political bite in the United States. Like sometimes we show television clips or a political rant by someone who's a known comedian, that type thing, a little clip here and there. But really what we discovered is that we have to nuance anything that has political or sociological or cultural spin to the country, or not just the country, but the participants who show up, and particularly the venue in which we're operating. And so I think that was our turning point, wasn't it, Robert, where we said no more politics, because as people who reside in the United States, even though we have an online training institute around the world, we're in 23 countries with students in those residences. And, of course, when we read their gorgeous writing of their experience, their journal entries, we get we get educated about cultural values and norms. But we didn't realize the diversity, and we did realize that we need to really tailor what we bring and how we bring it and do more eliciting from a culture itself rather than assuming we know the culture. Because nobody can know all the cultures around the world. Nobody.
Nobody can, but know it. You know some of the cultures better because you've actually been there.
Exactly.
And you've been doing the SARs, and you've had lots of interaction with these folks. So let's start with, we'll circle back to some of this, but I think it'd be wonderful to know where you have been leading the workshops, the speeches, the trainings this year.
Well, let's go back to our last trip, because our last trip was probably the most profoundly moving for us as sexologists and as humans, and that was because we really broke ground in bringing positive sexuality, not just information, but transformation, to a huge community in both Prague, the Czech Republic.
Prague, yes.
Okay, and Warsaw, Poland, even more in need of bringing in this kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned so much. And and then if we have time, we can talk a little bit about visiting Krakow, Poland, where I gave the keynote speech for a big sexology conference. And that was just an extraordinary couple of days being in Krakow. So we could begin with our awarenesses of Prague. And I think Robert should speak about it, because Robert is half Czech.
Oh, I didn't know that, Robert.
He has a history and a connection to Prague. Why don't you start with that, Robert?
it's a wonderful story about my great-grandfather, who was a quite well-known composer. In fact, a lot of people today, when I tell what his music was used for example, like Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, that was his music score.
Really?
For people in Europe, his score was also used for the BBC on many programs. And I was very lucky at one time, in fact, in 2000, that I was able to go to Prague, and they allowed me to film at the music hall as well as at the opera house, where my great-grandfather was the premier conductor as well as composer for a lot of his original pieces, premiered there. And what I was astounded with was they literally had everything that was ever performed up to that current date of 2000 by my great-grandfather on a computer. And they gave me of all of the dates and the times and what pieces they had performed. Some of them would be an overture, some would be the complete opera, or different things that he had composed while he was there. And they also had backup to some of the other places where he was, like, loaned out. Meaning that they would ask permission to have him do his music and or pieces that became quite popular in Rome, in London, and in Berlin. And at one point, the person who was the official historian at the Prague Music Hall said, and by the way, there's a note here, one of the people who had requested his music the most often was Adolf Hitler.
Oh, wow.
And I was going, oh, my word, and that's how extensive his music went. So, wonderful.
This is such an important part of your legacy, and to be able to go to Prague and experience and get these kinds of connections must have been really moving.
Yes, it was, and a lot of other things kind of fell into place. I had met someone who was also another musical historian,
yes,
and he had some of the original music score compositions that included my great-grandfather's notes. And one of them in particular was when he had performed Donna Diana, one of the most famous of his works, in Rome. So it's even little crib notes in Italian.
Huh.
So when he conducted that in Rome, I guess, where whatever opera house in particular there, he was allowed to, you know, keep that, as, et cetera, et cetera. So I have copies of the complete works, every note, every little type of thing that is part of the composition. It's really amazing.
Thank you for sharing that with us. And I just want to repeat, or I want to say, two websites that you need to go to. And I'll put this up when I do a summary of the show. drpattybritton.com. That's for doctor. drpattibritton.com. And then the other website is sexcoachyou.com, and we're going to talk more about Sex Coach You and other things too. But let's go back to Poland. You say on your website, Patty, we discovered that there is nothing, my ad, to equal an international SAR. And you'll tell us what that means, experience, having hosted them 2 years in a row. And you have a nice photograph of your graduating group in Warsaw, your SAR graduation.
Well, on the homepage at drpattybritton.com, what I like to do is after we come back from a trip, I like to compose a photo essay. So anyone listening, please go to drpattybritton.com. You'll see the center of the website on the homepage is actually my blog postings. And there are a lot of cool things there, like a review of a movie that just came out that is hysterical by Almodovar, but on to a more serious note. And there are three stories on our trip to Eastern Europe. And you can look down if you scroll, and you'll see Eastern European Trip Part 1, Prague. And then as you go back toward the top, you'll see me holding a microphone, my trip to Krakow, where I gave a speech. And then that graduating class, Eastern Europe Trip Part 3, Warsaw and Beyond. So I always think that a picture tells a thousand words, and I'm sure you agree with that, Diana.
I do.
When you see something, you know, there's a picture of us fully mic'd and with our headsets on in the largest talk radio studio in all of Prague. That was such a hoot to visit because our host is actually a very famous talk show co-host.
Yeah.
She has a nightly show 5 nights a week. She is Miss Sex Goddess of Czech Republic. And she was our host for the SAR and is an amazing sexologist and sex coach herself, Julie Pupetova, if I said it right. And so if you click the heading for each of these little stories, what you see is highlights and photos. And you certainly see, you know, the room that we were in opening our SAR. You see some of actually erotic art. We're really aficionados of bringing our students out of the classroom into the world. And that's one of the, I'd say, a signature aspect of all of our trainings is that we are trained in the adult learning theory model ourselves. The adult learning theory model is based on experiential learning. It's not didactic. You don't take a scalpel, open up your head, pour the information in, suture it up, and then bingo, you got it. Nope, doesn't work like that. You have to process, and you have to ingest, digest, and transform this information into learning. And the best way to do that is by experiencing what it is that you're learning about. So there was an art gallery of Mucha. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I always thought the J-O-B photo that you see on the website, which is sensuality. These are Art Nouveau, Art Deco posters and original art all in this one tiny little building in the center of this gorgeous city of Prague. And here I saw iconography of my own growing up. It was like, oh, my God, wait a minute. J-O-B, those were actually artifacts from the 1960s that were part of the hippie movement in the United States. And lo and behold, these were all art and opera posters that Mucha had developed, and this is his gallery, long dead. And so the beauty of erotic art was really a huge part of it, and the beauty, the aesthetic of architecture, and just the charm of the old world. But they're also, one of the field trips that we took in Prague was not only to see erotic art for ourselves in our own collection, and if we have time, Robert can talk to you about his massive, massive collection of erotic art imagery. But we had the privilege and the pleasure of going to the Sex Machine Museum of Prague as part of our SAR. So imagine, you know, 25 people bundle up, it was cold and rainy, and get on trams and you know, trek into the city and walk block upon block upon block to get to this little tiny winding street with cobblestone and beautiful things in the windows. And we walk into this enormous, amazing museum. And on my website, I have some of the pictures that move me the most, although there were many. Of course, there was not enough, but it was really heavy on fetish and BDSM artifacts. So there's like a body bag shaped like a human body suspended from the ceiling. There's they had a large Netsuki collection of people engaged in sexual positions and the act, but hand-carved on ivory and painted, oh, just so beautiful. Some kind of stations along the way. Like, there's a picture of me, I'm very short in this, standing behind a full stock so that my hands were inside, my head could have been inside the stock, you see me peeking through. And one of the BDSM artifacts were these dog masks. Oh, they were so scary and so weird and bizarre. And they were masks that people put on their faces that are made of a hard leather with metal sticking out for whiskers and teeth. And, oh, my God, they were just amazing. So, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff to look at when you go to a museum of this nature. And our students were really, truly moved by it. Right, Robert?
Oh, yeah. And the one thing that really I never got was what a real peep show is. And literally, a peep show is the way they were designed in Europe is it's like a little tiny house that's built, and you look in through all these different windows to see a particular type of sex act.
Yeah, and it was very interesting. Like a little human dollhouse.
Yeah, but real people could still get inside. It was
that's
large
right.
enough that you could look in all these little windows, and that's what is a peep show. But that
well,
was just
you
one of
have
the things.
Designed, the two of you, some wonderful, some really powerful experiential learning aspects to your course. I remember last year you even took your students, you were in Las Vegas, to Zoomanity. And then you got to be a
correct.
Little part of that. You got to be part of the show. Just
yes.
refresh our memory. Although it is archived, if you go back to last August of last
it
year,
is.
You'll... Yeah. But
they take one person, one victim from the audience of 2,000 people as they're having their climactic group orgy scene. This
yeah.
is all Cirque du Soleil. And they zoom around the room and they find one human being and they say, you're coming on stage to participate in our group orgy with fireworks and craziness on a spinning stage. And I was that person.
Do you think they had a little bit of background information?
Well, they had no idea who I was. I was just a person in the audience, and
no,
I was wearing.
They actually pushed Patty up onto the stage.
Well, Robert kept going, pointing at me, take her, and I was like, no. So of course, I was more attractive to this
yeah.
madman who was like looking for his next victim. And what was so hilarious about Zoomanity, which is a really, really sexy, sexual show, half dressed. And very provocative and very explicit without nudity and real sex. What happened is this was emceed by two people, one very large Judy Garland-esque person who, of course, was a drag queen, a man in drag.
Yeah.
And this French guy who was like, Mr., I'm going to come and get you. And the drag queen, Diva, interviews me, by the way, 7 feet tall. I'm 5'1¾". And this French guy in this silver Skype, he's wearing a skin-tight silver, like, lamé bodysuit with a big codpiece in the front. That means you see a package. He comes up to me. He hauls me onto the stage. He brings me up to the drag queen. I'm shrieking, no! Which is what they love. The audience is going wild, and then it gets quiet, and the drag queen takes out this enormous microphone, puts it under my lips, and says, and what do you do? And I say, pause, I'm a sex doctor. People
I love
went
it.
Insane. And I don't remember anything
Diana.
Else. That was really a fun event. Our students
well,
are in the audience shrieking.
That is a great note on which we can go into the break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Batty and Dr. Robert because we want to know a little more about cross-cultural sexuality
exactly.
and what they learned on their trip. So stay with us, please.
Cosa leggerai con che libro affascini il tuo cuore? E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore.
We're back I'm so very pleased because we're doing the show today with Dr. Patty Britton and Dr. Robert Dunlap, and they've been my friends for many years and colleagues, and they do fascinating work. And I'm thinking that we might open up the second half of this program with, what did you learn about the sexual, religious, socio-cultural, historical, there's a lot of that, values in those cities that you visited, those countries, and you were in China and Poland and where else?
The Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic, of course you were. So
and
what
Miami.
Did you learn? What were some of the trends?
Robert, why don't you start?
Sure. One of the things that we found really fascinating, and it seems to be a threat that is going around the whole world now, is the whole thing of polyamory. And
yes.
I was astounded that even in China, that this would be something that is trending, as well as the reason why it's trending.
Yes. And talk about that. That is fascinating.
Yes. Some of the numbers that that I just recently did some research on indicate that there are 24 million more single Chinese men than women because of their one-child rule.
Right.
And what's happened is there was a twofold thing that had happened. They need to reverse that immediately, and a clinical sexologist who Dr. Patty and I had met in Hong Kong had made the suggestion that polyamory and people having multiple partners could be a way of solving the dilemma. Now, can you imagine that the Chinese are so desperate to have both their population get back to a normalcy and cycle that they would, in a way, endorse polyamory, which I found to be really astounding. Now, following that up, and here's how that could work so beautifully, where we were both in Prague as well as in Warsaw, there were different people who are in that particular lifestyle. And one of the women in particular who we had at our training, she has literally two husbands and one lover. And
wow, she was busy.
We got to meet now both the husbands. We didn't meet the lover, but the two husbands were very much for it.
Best friends. They became
best friends. Yes. And the model, if you could see how that could be replicated, because remember, there are 24 million more Chinese men than women, the men can share a wife.
Hmm. How much is this being practiced in China? I mean, I can see the need for it.
Right.
But there are.
I'll give my perspective as
yes,
well.
Please.
Yes.
For one thing, China, and I think this is what we found in Eastern Europe. There is a melting of the tension between the old guard and the new world,
mm-hmm.
and that is happening in all those regions. Whether we're talking Warsaw or Krakow, although we didn't really get to investigate Krakow in the same way because I gave a speech. It wasn't an interactive seminar where we got to learn more about the people. But that was true in the Czech Republic, in Prague, and in China. I think that it's an evolving issue, and the trend is definitely there, and the push is there. And it's always going to come up against the wall of the way things were, just as it does in this country in the United States,
yeah.
where... You know, people want monogamy, they want solid marriage, but at the same time, they're having cuckolding where a husband has the wife go and have sex with some guy and he watches because he gets off on that, or they're in swinging parties, which is, you know, really not like having ongoing, enduring polyamorous relationships, but polyamory is really taking hold worldwide. We also had a speaker in Warsaw who is someone who is not only polyamory or a polyamorist, but actually spends time at a utopian community in Portugal. Is that correct, Robert?
Portugal and Switzerland.
And Switzerland. There are now utopian live-in or visiting communities where you can go visit that allow, and that actually not just allow, but insist upon and promote multiple partnering as part of a drive for healing the world and world peace. And so there's a socio-political spin to it, and this person will never, ever go back to one partner only, she says. And so we heard this theme at the speech I gave at the university in Krakow, which was a speech on aging and sexuality.
Really?
It was on aging and sexuality from a sex coaching perspective. So I introduced the model that I've created, this holistic model, and I talked about how coaching is so different from therapy. And it was on the ravages of aging and the joys of aging as we look at sex and sexual expression. And at the end of the talk, there were just so many people had so many questions. And the theme that we heard again was this man raised his hand, and he really took up a lot of question time. And he turned out to be a poly activist. And he wanted to have his voice heard to hear what our views were about, is this a rising trend around the world? And the answer is yes, it is, definitely. And so that was one of the themes. And the other theme that I want to speak about is that certainly in Warsaw in particular, coming out of the suppressed, repressed political realm, there is such a foot that people have in their history and the oppression they've suffered.
Oh, no doubt. And it's almost like PTSD, isn't it?
It is. And so they're so wounded, and they're delicate, and they're afraid. And we heard a story, and this is true, from one of our speakers who represented a trans man, a transgendered person. And he spoke about some of the most despicable behaviors that are going on right now in the practice of medicine, of endocrinology, of internal medicine and psychiatry in Warsaw by some of the most powerful and influential MDs who are physically and sexually abusing their clients.
And
this is reportable.
And people can read about this on your website, because I remember reading it, and you said it, when this trans man described his experiences,
yes,
it brought lots of people to tears.
It was horrific,
yes,
to
can
witness
I add,
and,
yeah,
and hear.
As another follow-up too, Diane, so that you know, we also at sexcoachu.com, people can sign up for our newsletter. And we also not only have, you know, photo essays, but we also put up video clips as well as additional materials that just can't fit on Patty's website. We just don't have enough room. So we send out a monthly generic newsletter that includes even clips.
Yeah, that's true.
And then that brings people into the experience when you have these clips.
Yeah.
But
the other,
how
I
touching
wanted to,
that must have been for this.
I wanted to speak about one other trend that we saw.
Please.
Because that's really our purpose today, is the cross-cultural perspective,
yes,
and
is.
What's going on with sex today around the world. And there is such a huge tsunami of interest and expression in BDSM. And I think E.L. James should be thanked for it, for her success with 50 Shades of Grey and the other two.
Yeah.
Even though not well written, but well placed, you know. I mean,
it's
those
well
books
placed.
Really they revolutionized permission to speak about female hunger and role playing and the power dynamic in relationships as part of eroticism. And we noticed, I think I noticed anyway, Robert, you can say yes or no, that there were younger people engaging in BDSM as our speaker panels or our demos or in the evening. We actually had like a salon in Prague at the hotel, and we had people show slides of their experiences and how they evolved as players in B&D and S&M, and some of it was just so powerful it knocked me out, and I thought I'd seen a lot. And we saw the same thing happen in Warsaw. We had a husband-wife team who specialize in performance art. They actually do their BDSM as performance art and are entertainers. It's kind of an interesting blend. And their specialty is candle wax play and fire and bondage. And they were lovely.
And suspension?
And suspension, yes.
Yeah.
And suspension.
Bondage,
yes.
Suspension.
Bondage suspension, yeah. Yeah, rope.
Yeah,
a lot
all right.
We saw a demonstration of rope bondage in Prague that was breathtaking, and also we saw we didn't see it, but we heard of it, and we really feel that this is a trend out there, and there's much more permission, and of course websites like FetLife.com give people a way of making community who are authentically interested, and freedom organizations such as the Woodhull Alliance.org, the Sexual Freedom Alliance. Woodhull is having in the fall of this year in September its annual conference, which used to be half a day, and now it's going to be a four-day event, I believe, in Washington, D.C. area. And I'm on the advisory council of the Woodhull organization because I believe that we need to still be fighting hard for sexual freedom and sexual rights for all kinds of sexual expression and authenticity.
Yes. You two are doing some amazing work, opening doors for lots of people to at least consider.
Well,
these,
and it's part of being
other possibilities, and you know, a mainline magazine last year wrote about, the head title was Monogamish. I think it was Self magazine.
Yes,
that's right.
Monogamish, which is a Dan Savage term. He's local to Seattle, where I live, so more and more couples are negotiating their relationship, deciding if they want to open it a little bit or a lot, or if they want to become poly, or if they want to do BDSM. But it's about negotiation and about, and of course, yeah. Robert, when you did Beyond Vanilla, that was no doubt a big theme. Well, I saw it, so I know it was a big theme in your movie,
yeah.
How important negotiation is.
Yes, and that's the thing that I always stress about anyone who wants to explore that,
mm-hmm.
and that is everything must be consensual, and
yeah.
everything is negotiated before you even put on whatever it is that you're going to be putting on, whether it's a type of fetish garment or if you're going to do some kind of a play scene. Whatever
uh-huh.
it is, it's negotiated up front and consensual, and you must have a start and a stop word so that when, as soon as someone uses the code word stop, that means it ends right then and there.
Yes.
And well,
also there was something else
I just wanted to say, Patty, and just as a tag to what Robert said, I think I'm going to guess, and I've had some clients who participate in this realm, that it increases their sexual communication. It improves it.
Absolutely.
Because they've got
Absolutely.
To have the structure.
Yes, and because everything is negotiated, that means they're already talking. Because part of the dialogue is, well, I wouldn't mind if you did that. I could do this. Would that be okay with you if I could do a little of that? And that's, you know, communication is the big key. And that's how any kind of relationship, the real key to its success is what you're going to discuss. What are we going to do? And tell me if you like that. I want to know if you like that.
Well, yes. So with all of your world travels, Did you discover any secrets for cross-cultural infusion for sexual health? And I love that term, sexual health and well-being. You know, what did you witness as you traveled and did your programs abroad? And I don't know, there's nobody else like the two of you doing this, as far as I know. So it's just fabulous.
I don't know of anybody else.
No, yeah. I don't think so. I mean, it's just so for people, before you answer the question, people needing to learn more about what it means to be a sex coach, they need to go to sexcoachyou.com and to learn more about your world travels, Dr. Patty, Patti, Britton, Britton.com. But what did you learn? What are some secrets, do you think, for cross-cultural infusion for sexual health and well-being?
Oh, I have one that we got to experience, and we were kind of thinking for a while, at least I will admit that I had, about Tantra. That Tantra and the whole approach of that was kind of woo-woo until I was able to watch and experience what Tantra is really about. And there is something very healthy about it, because it also can include orgasmic yoga practice as well as other kinds of things, and it transcends into being a much more spiritual approach to relationship and sexuality. And that was something that I thought was extremely healthy, because if you are looking at whatever that kind of experience you want from that partner, if there's even the little spin of it being spiritual, there's another thing that's very healing about that experience. Very healing.
Very healing. And sex can be very healing. And when it's incorporated into the tantric sexuality, perhaps even more so. I mean, it depends on the individual and their level of education about this. But
I had a different takeaway, which
is
that
tell me.
I think that part of the message that we bring and we bring out and bring forth is permission.
Permission, and absolutely.
I think that's what it's really all about. I think the world is so wounded around sexuality, even though we've seen the infusion of rights for gay marriage and we have poly movements and blah, blah, blah. There's still so much pain in the world. And even among those who are the healers of sexuality for their clients or their students or their whatever it is that they call whom they service, and we saw the need for healing the wounded healer. And I think that is
wait,
what
that's
me.
Good, healing the wounded healer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what one of Patty's workshops was at this last ASEC. Healing the wounded healer.
Wow.
Very powerful experience as part of ASEC's offerings this past June, just a month ago. Yeah. So I think there's that. I think the reality is that everyone needs to be reminded to give themselves permission and to get permission externally if you're not able or willing to do that for yourself, to be who you authentically are as a sexual being and maybe as a human being. And I think that theme is what I saw over and over and over again, whether it's somebody who's got two husbands and who likes to be tied up with their body wrapped in rope, or somebody who, we had one person who dressed in black with like lace over her face and kept saying, I am a tantric massage therapist and a priestess and a healer and a witch, essentially. And let me be who I am and let my voice be heard among the psychiatrists and the medical doctors and the sex educators and the people running the sex toy shops and the psychotherapists, because we had a very cross mix at the Warsaw training. It was the most diverse group and the most intelligent group I believe we've ever had come to ASAR, and it was just gorgeous to be in Poland to behold all that and facilitate all of that. So I think that's really one of the keys that we saw. Healing is the word and permission.
Healing and permission. And we know how important it is as psychotherapists, as healers, as coaches, to just be non-judgmental and to be open.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no place for judgmental for a judgmental attitude in counseling of any sort, because, and this is one, of course, great reason for a SAR, but and I remember taking it 30 years ago, but and I was already kind of non-judgmental and permission-giving, but it's not helpful if a client, a new client comes in and says whatever they're doing, and the therapist says, "You do what?" You know, this
Thank
is
you.
Not helpful. Not well, at all.
Well, what it does is it shrinks the pool of resources for people who are other than the vanilla heterosexual norm.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that is still the dominant criteria in the world, it isn't where all people are at all. So being an open container, that's what we train our sex coaches to understand. You have to become a safe, competent, open, and healing and loving container for what the client brings.
Oh, yeah.
Not a judging source at all.
Yep, that's right. So what's the next step for you two?
Wow. Well, we're looking at doing the next series of international trainings. We'll be doing one in Vancouver in January, the last week of January, first week of February. And then we're going to be giving two more SARs in Europe. One will be in Berlin, and hopefully the second will be in London. So we're finalizing all of that. And I guess the most immediate for myself personally is I'm going to be going to Brazil in September to the World Association of Sexology, where I'm fortunate enough to, they're going to let me present and talk a little bit about sex coaching. So I'm quite excited
Terrific.
About going. Yeah, that's a lot of travel in one year. Four continents.
That is just great. And, you know, I was looking back into my notes from previous shows I've done with you, and I used to do this program with Billy Sage, who was just, you know, this great, funny co-host. I miss him. But I pulled out his little song, and I thought I would just share this again because it had to do with the show we did. And it is this. Cheer, cheer for genital arts. Learn how to use them. That's when fun starts. Don't just worship that behind. Don't forget to start with the mind. It's the emotions there in the brain where you can find peace or go insane. Train it, use it. You won't lose it. Rah, rah for sex. Coach you.
All
Remember
right.
when Billy Sage did that in 2011?
Yes,
I mean, he's brilliant. He came up with this, you know, just in the moment.
That's great. We miss him, too.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It was really good. So we have to stop, but we have so much more to talk about, so once you two settle down a little bit or at least come back to this area, because I know you're about to travel again, we'll do another show because I really want to talk more about this. You have so many wonderful insights into this international world with the SAR program you do, and it's so important and around the world and popular. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Robert, for being on
Thank
the show
you,
today.
Thank you. Bless you, darling.
Great. Bless you.
Well, thank you. I just bless you two, too. It's been great to have you.
Thanks. So, have a great one.
Thank you.
All right. So, everybody, count your blessings. You know, if you've got love and lust and laughter in your life, wow, aren't you lucky? I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye. Probabilmente a metro schiavo da un